Happy Monday.
Hey, happy Monday, Ben. So, for those of you who don't know this,
which is everybody.
Well, actually, you probably know this. Thanksgiving is on Thursday.
Yeah.
Apparently, it's on every Thursday, isn't it?
No, only one Thursday.
Oh. I've been doing this wrong. We record the podcast on Thursday. Thanksgiving is this Thursday, and I've got a lot of, you know, stuff going on. Ben probably has a lot of stuff going on. I don't know.
Well, I am going to be away from my desk on Thursday. I'm not coming into the office on Thursday. And I will be around family. And recording the podcast when I'm, you know, at Thanksgiving dinner will be kind of awkward.
Shut up, Mom and Dad. We're talking about the world. We are waiting. No longer. We're forging ahead.
Yeah.
And getting a jump on things by recording. And we've noted that we're going to be recording a shorter podcast.
Yeah.
The podcast is going to be a little shorter this week.
Well, you know, it was
a surprise
to both of us that we're recording it today. And so I thought, well, you know, instead of trying to do a whole week ahead, why not just, you know, have something small, a nugget for those devoted listeners to keep on listening instead of missing an entire week.
Exactly. We're not slackers. We try to do the right thing. Hey, I got a question for you. Can you hear little beeping noises from where I'm at?
Not through the phone, no.
Okay.
But once I get your audio, I might be able to hear it.
Yeah. Might as well not. So, how are things, Ben?
Oh, you know, just watching the world burn, as we do every
week. Oh, really? is that happening? As has been established, I do not read the news or listen to the news anymore. All that I know, and this is a segment we like to call What Did Paul Figure Out Is Happening in the World? Charles Manson's dead.
Charles Manson did die, yeah. He passed
and
away.
This is a very, very sad thing.
A what?
And I almost hate to. What I'm about to relate to you is a very sad thing.
Okay.
And
are you mourning Manson's death?
Ben, it's a sad. I just can't believe it. Too soon. What is he, like 84 or something?
I think he was 82.
So no. Here is the thing that is sad. And I almost hate to mention it.
Yeah.
But I was looking over someone's shoulder. They were at work. I was looking over their shoulder at their newsfeed, and I was like, oh, Jim Henson. Nope.
What?
Not Jim Henson at all. Never was. It's funny, though. The two of them, kind of contemporaries.
Wait, you mistook
both
Manson for Henson?
Hey, I don't know why. I really don't know. It was weird. It was a bad mistake. You know, they both were interested in teaching people about the environment, I guess. So that's weird.
And, like Manson, Henson had a bunch of acolytes that he manipulated at will.
That's true. it just goes to show you. It's like the Dark Crystal. There's a light side and a dark side. For everything.
I think you're talking about... Okay, yeah. That also applies to the Force.
Interesting news as far as that goes. Are you familiar with Terry Pratchett's Discworld series?
I am not. I know of it, but I have not read any of it.
Now, this might be why I was thinking of Jim Henson. But I honestly, for the life of me, can't tell if I discovered this before or after. That it happened around the same time, and it's kind of mushing around in my brain. But the We Free Men, which is a fun little audiobook that I listen to that is based on a book by Terry Pratchett, is being turned into a movie. His daughter is writing it, and the Henson Company is doing the the movie, apparently. They're producing it.
Oh, really?
I haven't seen anything on it in a while. but it's still on IMDb, and so, you know, it's a good story. I really liked it. So it'd be nice to see if something ever came of it.
Terry Pratchett, remind me, he just recently passed away, right?
He did, yes.
Yeah.
And I want to say, although I do not know for sure, I think there was a controversy because it was, I think he chose to die, I think.
Yeah, I remember there being something, some sort of controversy surrounding it. Or maybe it was maybe it wasn't that he chose to die, but that like he knew he was gonna die, and so he made it very, very public that like his diagnosis and that he was on his deathbed, as it were.
Yes, the bed that
the bed that kills you.
Yeah.
In other notable death news. Malcolm Young, the guitarist for AC/DC, passed away.
Oh, no!
And so did one of the members of the Partridge Family.
Oh, no!
Not Danny Bonaducci, even though that's the only name that's coming to me right now.
I have a question, and I almost hate to question you on this, because your knowledge of AC/DC is much higher than mine.
Yeah.
Isn't it Agnes Young?
Angus Young and Malcolm Young were brothers, and they both were in the band.
Okay.
So Young was actually the dude. If you've seen like promo videos or photos of AC/DC, there's always a dude who's dresses in a schoolboy outfit.
Yeah.
That's Angus Young.
And he is still alive.
He is still alive.
Okay. Agnes, I can't believe. I was wrong. I was wrong twice, and again, as I said, I always hate to do this because I know that you know more about AC/DC than me, and it turns out you did. Yeah. So,
well, I know that much. Yeah. I have seen the VH1's AC/DC Behind the Video or Behind the Music.
Aha, uh-huh, see, and I have not. So
actually, really interesting.
You
it's on YouTube, which
more.
Is how I watched it. So you know, you should check it out, young
well,
listener.
Well, I might. Yeah. And our listener might, if they, I mean, you're listening to this, why not, right? Hey, yeah. Hold on, oh, come on now. That was one of the things, when I was a kid, the first time I heard any sort of deprecating humor, is it deprecating?
Self-deprecating?
Self-deprecating?
It's not self-defecating.
Yeah, Sha-na-na. Sha-na-na,
with Bowser?
Yeah. Came on to Channel 11. And did a special promo about it. And it was something like, if you like high-class entertainment, tune in somewhere else. Because Sha-na-na is part of the lineup.
Yeah.
And I didn't get it. I was like, why is he telling us that it's bad?
Right.
But now I get it. Although, I still have to say, there's a type of thing like... Ben Stiller does this a lot, where he plays characters who are unlikable for humor purposes, and I don't know.
I
don't get it.
Yeah, I guess if I saw that where Channel 11 said if you're looking for, you know, good stuff, don't watch us. I think I was kind of, that sort of humor was sort of drilled into my brain at a very impressionable age because I read a lot of Mad Magazine when I was young.
Oh, right.
And my mom didn't really like the fact that I bought me Mad Magazines every month. But that sort of humor is prevalent throughout.
Let me ask you a question. Did you go to the store to buy it, or did you get it delivered in the mail?
No, it was always a store-bought thing. It was always one of those where we would go to the local grocery store, and they have the spinner racks by the checkout, and we ultimately had Mad Magazine on it, and I would be like, can I have one, please? And they were like, they were super cheap for the times. You know, this would have been like in the early 80s, so they were only like $3.
Yeah, hey, I remember
like $1.50
buying X-Men comics for like 65 cents.
Yeah.
The one thing that I did do is I got subscriptions to comics.
You got
and
prescriptions?
It was always great when I would... subscriptions?
Yeah, okay. I thought I heard you say prescriptions, which I thought would have been a great...
No.
Young man, you
hey,
are
man.
2 comic books per month for 2 weeks and take with food.
Dude, I've talked to you about the Invisible, oh my god. I'm not having a stroke, I'm fine, Ben. But I've told you before about the Invisibles. You kind of need a prescription to read that comic, Ben. Dun dun dun. Grant Morrison. Anyway.
I don't get it.
I know some people don't like him, but I like him. Did you guys ever discuss the Grant Morrison, Alan Moore somewhat magician rivalry thing?
We've discussed the fact that Alan Moore's a sorcerer, but I don't think we've talked about the blood feud between him and Grant Morrison.
I don't think they have a blood feud necessarily, but Grant Morrison is a chaos magician, which is different than Alan Moore's thing. And Alan Moore is, from what I understand, not too thrilled with the chaos magic.
Because it delegitimizes his own brand of sorcery.
I believe that might be exactly what it is. I personally lean more towards the chaos magic side of things myself, so...
Grant Morrison's like an anarchist magician.
Yeah, kind of. All right. Kind of like that. Yeah. although for me, I mean, I think about it stuff and I write about it and things like that. I came up with a very interesting, I had a dream and I wrote down a whole bunch of stuff just recently.
Yeah.
And I haven't gone in for a checkup or anything. I think I'm still okay. But I was like, oh, yeah, anytime that I'm like, oh, this is how the world works. It's so simple. I know that maybe it's a dangerous place that I'm at. But basically, it goes like this. Any place that you enter, right?
Yeah.
Has a nature or a feel to it. And as a magician, right, what you want to do is figure out the manner of it, like what are the rules of this place that I'm in, and then subvert them subtly, right, to change things from the way that, because there's an equilibrium to a place, right, and what you want to do is tip the equilibrium to do something that you want to have happen, basically.
Yeah, and that's just
a bad magician goes through and just kicks things over and totally breaks everything.
A poltergeist
magician, yeah, exactly, sort of like that. A good and not necessarily actually breaking things, but you know what I mean. Like you notice it. It's like, whoa, something weird is going on here.
They've changed something.
Exactly. Whereas a good magician. And we're not talking about morality here necessarily, but we are sort of, because a bad magician can still get things done, right, by brute forcing stuff. But it's a difference between a denial of service attack and going through and subtly changing stuff without anybody noticing. That subtly changing stuff without anybody noticing is what I believe a good magician would do. So anyway, that's the basic. So it's person, place, thing. A person manipulates things inside of a place. And all the interaction between persons, places, and things is the nature of a place. There is a root nature or a base nature, which is, nature in general. And then when a place has changes modified, from the outside, like a person comes in and basically remodels, quote unquote, a place. When you enter that place, then you're dealing with base nature plus anybody who's ever remodeled that area. Which is why, for instance, in a theater, right, you go in and you sit down and you watch the play. And if you do something other than that, it's weird and people ask you to leave. Or yell at you while their friend drinks an entire beer.
Right, right. As has been discussed.
Yes. Callback. Hey, it's already 11...
11?
No, sorry. Whoa, that's weird, Ben. What? I looked at the clock.
Did you do to yourself?
It was 6:19. It is now 6:16. So I just went back in time 3 minutes.
I think maybe your brain is playing tricks on you. Or...
it's quite possible.
A bad magician is wrecking things inside your home.
Oh, my cat's looking at me right now, too.
I think you found your magician.
Now she's licking her butt, so things are back to normal. Status quo. Yeah, but, you know, cats, they change something. She's not a black cat. She's a black and white cat, but still.
Got some white in her.
I think it's, yeah, exactly. So, so Thanksgiving, going to your parents' house?
I'm not. Going up to my sister's house in Mill Creek, which is about an hour's drive north of Seattle. Actually, no, it's less than that. It takes about an hour to get there, but it's not, you know, it's not like an hour on the freeway. It's a little bit off the beaten path. But my family's going to be there, and it's going to be, you know, it's my family does this weird thing where on Thanksgiving Day, dinner is at like 2 o'clock, like regardless of where it is.
Yeah, that is a thing that I've noticed that people kind of do. It's odd. My family is having it at 5 p.m. this time.
Right. 5, I think, is more reasonable. I don't know why everybody in my family has elected to do it so dang early. It's because everybody in my family's getting old.
I don't want to pry or anything, but does your family go to church at all?
No.
Okay, because I could see that, you know, oh, we're going to go to church, and then after church we start cooking.
Right.
And then, yeah, so, huh.
Yeah, anyway, all it means is that I get home early and basically eat the leftovers I am given for dinner that night, because what I have is a Thanksgiving lunch.
Yeah, there you go. Well, that's not too bad. Did they give you stuff when you leave?
Yeah.
Ben, take this.
I know. I am a perpetually poor and broke, which are the same things. I'm the perpetually broken, starving college student in my family.
Gotcha.
Even though I'm 41.
Well, hey, I have a different question for you, but I have been in the same situation. My question, Ben, to you is this.
Yeah.
Marble soda.
Marble soda.
Are you familiar with marble soda?
I am not. Is that a Midwest thing?
No, it's actually, and the reason I ask is because I used to get it at Wajamaya all the time.
Oh, okay.
Now, here's the thing. It's actually British. It's in Great Britain. It's in Japan. There's a marble, and you open the soda in a very odd way. It was actually patented, I think, in like the 1900s or so.
It's not one of those like foil tops where you just peel back a foil off of over that covers the drinking hole, is it? Like those old beer cans,
no.
I guess.
No. It's so there's a marble. There's an actual glass marble. And you have a little key type thing. You press the key type thing down, and it pops the marble out, and then the soda can be drunk.
This sounds expensive to produce.
It seems like it might be expensive to produce, but the big thing is this. There's a, you know, it's difficult to get the marble out without breaking the bottle. And I have never been able to do it, but what I did do was I got the marble out by breaking less of the bottle than I ever have before.
Is that the point, to get to break the bottle to get the marble? Are these collectible marbles?
You could collect them. I mean, you might as well. They exist. But here's the thing. Betty and I have talked about this before, and I want to know if this is a thing that's just... you know, an issue with my family, you know, me and Betty.
Yeah.
Or if this is a standard thing. So I'm looking at this marble, right?
Okay.
And all I can think about is someone taking this marble and hitting me in the head with it with a slingshot. And like what it would feel like for the marble to go into my head. Same thing. When I look at a pair of tin snips, I imagine someone cutting my finger off with them. when I look at a screwdriver, I imagine getting stabbed with the screw. I imagine myself getting hurt by all sorts of everyday objects all the time, to the point where it's now background noise.
Is it some sort of like byproduct of being afraid of people breaking into your house and just attacking you with whatever they find handy?
A little bit, but also the other thing is that sometimes it's me doing it instead of other people. Like,
so it's more of a, like, if a morbid it's fascination.
It's like the I forget what the French term was. There was a French term, I believe, for it. I knew this before this was in the trailer, but it was in the trailer of one of the Pirates of the Caribbean movies, where you stand from a high place, you have this sudden urge to throw yourself off of it.
Yeah.
It's like,
I know exactly what you're talking about.
It's very similar to that.
It's that impulse to just suddenly kill yourself.
Right, right.
Even though you've never had suicidal thoughts beforehand.
Right. It's not an impulse to kill myself. It's not an impulse to... It's just that when I look at objects, I can't help but imagine them hurting me. Like I said, it's unbidden. It's an intrusive kind of thing. And I'm wondering...
It's an odd little quirk. No, I don't have
yeah.
that.
Yeah. And see, here's the thing. I didn't really... You know, it's been so long, I didn't really even think about it anymore. You know, it's just... You know, you kind of look at the object and you're like, oh, well, that could you know, be stuck in my side. And then you're like, but it's not. And I'm moving on, you know, like that sort of thing. But then Betty, you know, 11 years old, talked to me about it on her side. And I'm like, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Oh, good. You've passed that down.
Yeah, apparently so.
To your kid.
Apparently so. So no, then, not a normal thing that everybody thinks about?
I don't think so.
All right. Oh, well.
Yeah.
Happy Thanksgiving, Ben.
yeah.
So it is 8:22. We were going to be a half hour. It really goes by fast when
Well,
we have a hard out.
Normally, I think. Normally, around this part of the show, we would do corrections. But since last week's show hasn't made it to the internet yet, then we don't even have corrections.
Wait, last week's show isn't even on the
internet
yet? We lapped ourselves. There's a
we have lapped ourselves a little bit. This is just this was an illustration of how when you do something like that's an automatic exercise, you don't pay attention to whether or not you're doing it correctly.
Oh, okay.
And so I got home last night, and I was all ready to do the, put the show online, and then I realized that the file for me is not where I expected it to be, and that's because I accidentally saved it in the wrong location on my work computer, so I didn't have it with me. So it'll go out tomorrow morning.
Okay, so that's cool.
Tuesday the 22nd.
It's kind of neat. It's sort of fun. Yeah. Also, just I finished Taboo. It was good. I watched Jonathan Strange and Mr. Norrell, which was also good. It's on Netflix. I was a little disconcerted that there's a book that I have that there are some things that are similar, but then I realized that. There are things that are similar in a lot of different books.
Right.
And, you know, it's still its own self-contained thing, and I think it's fine. It's just interesting, the same things that people think about.
I think, it's one of those instances where, you know, concepts, I don't think can be copyrighted or some ownership claimed over them. Two people can come up with the same thing independently. And that's fine, as long as there's no, like, malice of copyright infringement.
Oh, yeah. No.
But you can't convince some people otherwise.
Yeah. You can't, when you talk about magicians and their interactions with one another, it's difficult to not tread over some of the same ground.
Right.
And then the other thing is I've just started watching Fargo, the TV series from FX, and I like it a lot. Colin Hanks,
Oh, yeah.
Colin Hanks. Colin good old Hanks. Colin Hanks, isn't it? And also our dear friend Bob Odenkirk.
Oh, really? Isn't it?
Yeah, and he's really good, too. And Martin Freeman.
Yeah, yeah. Does he have an American, or does he have a Fargo accent in the TV show?
He does have a Fargo accent. Now, this is one of the criticisms that Jennifer has leveled on it, which is that everyone has a Fargo accent, like heavy, heavy, heavy. Yeah. Like, you know, everyone kind of read from the same book on how to talk.
There's one accent teacher, or dialect yeah. teacher on, in the show. And
it's possible. It's all they're learning. And he was, what was the thing, Dick Van Dyke, his dialect coach was from Ireland or something like that?
Oh, for his, quote, Liverpudlian accent in Mary Poppins? Yeah.
Exactly.
It was Cockney. I guess it was Cockney. I watched the first two episodes of Iron Fist.
Oh yeah.
And then I decided not to continue and just moved on to the first episode of Defenders.
Yeah, I did a similar thing, except I didn't watch Defenders either. I tried. I really did.
Defenders?
But I was just like, I'm not. He's still in there, Ben. I can't.
It's not a problem with Danny Rand that did it for me. It's that, I mean, granted, I'm only through one episode of The Defenders. But Iron Fist was just like, it kind of paced itself like The Walking Dead, right? There was nothing that happened. And then in like the last minute of episode two, something happened, and you're like, okay, so they're moving things forward, but now I've been through this cycle before. I've broken up with this TV show before. You can't just tease me along like that. You gotta give me something.
I had issues.
I just thought it was boring.
I was watching, see, here's the thing, is I was watching Into the Badlands at the same time, which is a AMC show, martial arts stuff,
yeah,
going on, and you can't do Iron Fist and have somebody who's not like really really good at martial arts.
Yeah, I mean that's the...
and no offense to the guy, but you know, I didn't.
But that's the issue,
there
right?
There's a part, my heart out was when he was sort of mansplaining martial arts to the female martial arts teacher. Right. And I was like, nope.
I don't think I've come to that part yet, but
okay.
But I mean, a lot of people were like, why is he a white guy? And then you have to be like that, well, actually, he's white in the comics.
Well, yeah, exactly. You have to be.
But the problem with Iron Fist, and this is what separates it from Daredevil, which had really exciting fight sequences, is that Iron Fist doesn't wear a mask. So that's Finn Jones doing all that work.
Yeah,
right? As opposed to like the stunt guy for Matt Murdock. Doing all the like the cool stunts, and that's also how they could do those cool long sequences of fight scenes in Daredevil. They just switch out whoever's playing Daredevil.
And here's the thing: is that Iron Fist, as you know, does wear a mask, right? In the comics, and this is the part that there is nothing in the drawn Iron Fist. Like the actual drawn Iron Fist guy,
yeah,
in his superhero form, that goes, hey, that guy's Caucasian. I'm saying that you could bend the rules, you could 100% bend the rules, and it's like, oh well, but in this story, you know, he's American who gets trapped in China. Guess what? There are Americans of all sorts of different ethnicities,
right?
Who could still get trapped in China. You could be, you know, Asian and still be... You could be a Chinese-American and still get trapped in China, and it's still a thing. That's all I'm saying. There's nothing in that origin story that says that he has to be...
Yeah. Who knows?
A white dude.
They tried.
Anyhow.
I think they failed.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I'm sorry to
maybe
to,
if the Defenders wows me, I'll go back and rewatch Iron Fist. But also, I was thinking, you know, as I was doing this, I'm like, well, you know, I saw the first two episodes of Iron Fist. Might as well watch the first two episodes of The Defenders, and then I'll watch the first two episodes of The Punisher.
Yeah, exactly.
Whichever one wins me over.
No, but I really did like Daredevil. I liked Jessica Jones. I thought Luke Cage was great.
Yeah, I think Luke Cage, like,
with it.
Watching The Defenders, Luke Cage's storyline was the one that drew me in the most.
Okay, well, that's cool. Now, Ben.
Paul.
It's not shouting for Betty. It's just looking over going, hey, Betty.
What?
Oh, God.
Jennifer's already asleep, first of all.
What?
Hey, okay, so when you look at this marble, what do you think about?
It's a marble.
That's good. See, look, no problems.
It does. She doesn't think about the fact that it came from a can of soda?
No, probably not. Do you remember where it came from? Oh, it's a bottle of soda, by the way, man. Oh, dang it. I just did that. So Ben, I almost hesitate to bring this up, but I do want to.
Uh-oh.
Now, Betty, I'm going to describe something to you. And you tell me what you think. I was explaining to Ben how if I look at, like, a pair of scissors, I think about maybe getting cut with them.
Oh, yeah, that.
Yeah. So let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. When you look at the marble, do you think of anything like that, or do you just think it's a marble?
Well, now you tell me, I could. I am imagining swallowing it and probably choking
on
it.
Yeah, see,
yeah,
that was
now
another.
Now she is, that you
was,
brought that up.
No, but the bed, I'm not training her to think this thing. She brought it up for me first. I'm serious.
Hey, Betty, don't think of white elephants.
Your Paul.
Here's the thing that's crazy. Ben?
Yeah.
Can look at stuff. He doesn't think about that thing.
Oh, yeah.
Huh.
Isn't that weird?
I'm the weird one.
Yeah, Ben, you're the weird one. But no. We talk to people and we feel how we feel about things, and she's going to hit me with her sleeve.
All right, and when she starts hitting you, that's
Betty
time to say goodbye.
The sleeve, that's the end of it. So, all right, Betty. Oh, now she's hitting the microphone. Betty. Come here. Tell Ben you're sorry for hitting the microphone.
I'm sorry for him.
All right.
She fell over.
That's all right.
You try, Betty. You try.
Oh, my goodness.
All righty.
All right.
Hey,
so, Ben.
Paul. Happy Thanksgiving.
I'm thankful that I have this podcast with you.
Yeah.
I'm thankful that the world hasn't ended yet.
Yeah, Ben's thankful that the world hasn't ended yet. Don't tell me, Ben, what you're afraid of. I don't. Because you mentioned that bad stuff is happening. Let's pretend like it's not for just a little while longer.
Alrighty. We'll keep
thanks,
the dream
Ben.
Alive.
Yes, and we'll keep it wrong.
Keep it wrong, Paul.
Bad stuff is always happening.
Yeah. All right. Talk to you soon.
Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Yeah. Here we go. All right. Now, so